as you bring that number of stocks down, so the S&P 500, that's 500 companies that are in there. And yes, some of those are going to have off years and it's going to weigh down the index. And some are going to have large upside years where they've really performed. So I totally understand here the logic. However, the part that I think we miss here is this fact. Hey there, friends. Back in episode 52, we explored managed mutual funds under the microscope and investigated whether there is ever a time where managed mutual funds might make sense.
Today, we want to unpack whether there is a case to be made for investing in the stock market as a stock player or a stock picker, or whether you should be really a stock spectator and take the index fund or a mutual fund approach.
So today we're going to look at a foolish claim by a common stock picking subscription website advocating for how you, regular old entrepreneurial do-it-yourself you, can beat the market ahead of all the managed mutual fund managers out there.
We'll also look at the data to determine whether stock picking generally leads to higher returns than market indices, or whether stock pickers just think they know more than everyone else.
And we'll also look at some other considerations that you should be thinking about before you take on any type of active driver's seat investment involvement strategy, be it stock picking, options trading, real estate wholesaling, flipping, burring, buy and hold, any of these active strategies, so that you can determine where you will receive the greatest return on your time investment to maximize your wealth and time freedom journey over the long term.
Here we go.
Welcome to the Invested Teacher Podcast with Kyle Pierce and John Orr.
Get ready to be taught as we share our successes and failures encountered during our real life lessons, learning how to build generational wealth from the ground up.
Welcome, invested students, to yet another episode of the Invested Teacher Podcast, where we look to unravel some of the investment world's strategies, and we try to help you figure out what is best for you, your family, and to help you reach that time freedom goal that we are all after. So, John, today we're going to be diving in. As we mentioned in the intro, we talked in the last episode about mutual funds under the microscope. And we actually sort of came to this conclusion. I think some people may have been surprised by how easy or how we let mutual funds, especially managed mutual funds, off the hook a little bit, because you hear people arguing about it back and forth. However, there are some people out there that are like very, very clearly fans of mutual funds. For example, Dave Ramsey, he's kind of like the get out of debt king out there. He's a proud supporter of mutual funds. I just want to reference, though, for those who know Dave Ramsey's work, his numbers on average that he uses for his calculations are greatly inflated. He's at 12% or something ridiculous like that. But he's a big fan of mutual funds. However, a guy like him, he's also has some perspectives that actually were not necessarily in line. So we like some of the things he says, but some of the things he also says, on the other hand, we disagree with. The mutual fund part, we're fine with. However, there's some other people out there like Ramit Sethi or Sethi, who believes that index funds are the only way to go and that you should avoid mutual funds at all costs. To me, it's like when I look at that debate between mutual funds and index funds, I know that they're can be a difference, and that difference can make a big change over time. At the end of the day, I feel like those decisions are actually less important than some of the decisions that I think people have to be thinking about. And we're going to cover those in this episode right here today.
Yeah. And yeah, that kind of goes to the, we're going to touch on that big idea that we unpacked last time on that, which is kind of thinking about the who and how should you be venturing into spending some time going down this route to be that more hands-on approach, or should you be spending some time kind of sitting back and letting the work get done for you in a way? So that's one of the big trade-offs or pathways that we have to think about when we're making these types of decisions. But Kyle, why don't you jump into this foolish claim that you referenced in the intro, and we'll unpack this foolish claim and see if we can do any better.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And we're picking on this one in particular. I mean, the name, it kind of makes it nice and easy. There's an article by Motley Fool. And John, I know for a long time when we started our stock trading and options journey, we were listening to this, particularly when we were introduced to Rule One Investing by Phil Town, who actually his strategy is much like our real estate strategy, and his is based off of Warren Buffett and a margin of safety. So I really liked his approach from a fundamental perspective. And I would argue, going all the way back to Phil Town's approach, that you can actually do well as a stock picker. Now, the Motley Fool tries to do something similar, but they also build in like that their analysts have some sort of edge, some sort of fundamental edge. So we listened to their podcast for a very long time. We actually subscribed to their website for a little while. Great information there. However, when we actually look at it in this article, they say that the title is "More Than Half of Mutual Funds Underperform the Market. Here's Why You Can Beat Them." That's the title. Talk about some great hook material right there, right? Where you're like, ooh, cliffhanger, tell me more. And ultimately, they unpack this idea that in 2022, that exactly half of all domestic funds in the U.S. underperformed the S&P 500. So that means half beat it, half didn't. So it was a coin flip, right? Whether you picked on the up or on the down. So who knows? But in 2021, when the index gained 29%, 80 of the funds underperformed. So they state facts here that it's like, wow, that's not a good thing. Now, I mean, it helps us for our argument in the last episode that, okay, so it sounds like sticking with the index in 2021 would have been helpful. But when they go on to share sort of their strategies, they're talking about sort of trying to get rid of the losers and just focusing on all the winners. However, as you bring that number of stocks down, so the S&P 500, that's 500 companies that are in there. And yeah, some of those are going to have off years and it's going to weigh down the index. And some are going to have large upside years where they've really performed. So I totally understand here the logic. However, the part that I think we miss here is this fact that doing this, anyone who's going to confidently be stock picking, I don't think you're going to want to subscribe to a website and then simply put on a blindfold and follow whatever recommendations they're giving you, right? I feel like you're going to have to really stay on top of things. You can't just go, okay, here's what they want me to buy. Now I'm going to ignore for a year and like everything's going to be great and we're going to beat the index.
Well, I think that's what they're trying to get you to do, Kyle, is that they want you, they're actively managing their portfolio, right? And they're like saying, hey, come along for the ride. We'll tell you the moves to make and you can mimic our portfolio, but you still got to do the moves. So it's kind of like saying like, I'm going to manage this. You got to pay a subscription fee for us to get the same moves that we're going to make. And we're going to do the picking. We're going to talk about the analyzing and you can blindly follow what we're doing here while we educate you about why we pick stocks and how you should pick stocks. Like they do that really well and they talk about updates really well and they share all that information really well. But I think a lot of people are still just kind of doing the blind follow, like they're going to their financial institution and picking a mutual fund. They don't have to do the thinking. Someone else is doing the thinking for him. This is like one step up from that going, well, I still don't have to do the thinking because if I follow their moves, then I just have to make the same moves at the same time, but I still have to be actively each week checking in. There is that active part of this because I'm like, okay, now I'm a stock picker, but I'm not really doing the thinking on my own. Whereas Phil Town would teach, this is how you want to think about the stocks you want to put in your portfolio. Here's how to kind of structure that. He teaches it for you. And I think Motley Fool does that teaching as well. You can learn from them how to do that on your own, but this is the question, right? Like this is why people go mutual funds is, do I want my time to be actively managing? And if you're like, I'm really excited and interested and it's my hobby and I just get a kick out of it and I just want to know, then go down that route and be the stock picker or follow their moves until you feel confident. You can pick stocks on your own. Like that's a whole mindset and lifestyle almost that you have to get into. And I get that. I get that people who want to be stock pickers and go down that route because it's like, I thought this too, Kyle, is when we thinking about this blind follow is like, do I want to be blindly following someone or something when, later on. Like, I always think later on, I'm like, do I want my future to be in the hands of someone else? And I can do that learning. I have a trusted advisor or a trusted people I can talk to. But I mean, I like to be able to have a little hand and say in that. So that might be that person who's like, I want to spend that time because I don't want to be reliant on someone else if the shit hits the fan or something like that, you know? Whereas, so you got that reliance, but the other part is like, do you want to go down that path and spend all that time? Or do you want to like, oh, hey, wait, my time is better used somewhere else?
Hey there, Canadian Wealth Secret Seekers. If you are an incorporated business owner who wants some clarity around how your corporation can provide you a better option for tax sheltering than the RRSPs that you've been socking away, we should chat. For those whose annual retained earnings are significant, we have some even more beneficial, unique, and compliant strategies to supercharge your personal income while growing your net worth at the very same time. Learn more on a quick discovery call by visiting CanadianWealthSecrets.com/discovery. That's CanadianWealthSecrets.com/discovery to book a short call to speak with us today.
Yeah, totally. And we'll dig more into that time part quite a bit. I'm going to throw myself out there. We know on the podcast we've shared, I am a fact finder. Those who are fact finders, you probably relate to some of the things I share, which is when I find an idea or something that interests me, it makes me curious. It's like, I want to know. I want to get to the bottom of it. I don't just want to be like, oh, that seems like a good idea. Maybe we try that at some point. I'm like, no, I want to know now. And I want to go down that rabbit hole. So some of you out there are like that, and I'm not discouraging you from going down that rabbit hole if that gives you energy, if it fuels some energy. But you do have to be conscious of how much time and effort you put into it. So what I tend to do is I put off my rabbit holing in the evenings. So I look at it as I still consider it work because it is. I am going down rabbit holes and looking at strategies and I do a lot of those things, but it's like I do it outside of what I would consider my work day, and I do it in the evenings so that I continue to learn and I can continue to analyze like, where are we going? What are we doing? What's good for us? What's not? And the reality is the further down these rabbit holes I find myself, the closer, or I guess the more convinced I become that I'm like, wow, it takes a lot of time and effort to do all of these strategies, even though I'm super curious about them and I get excited about them, but it takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of time. And even when it comes to, for example, signing up for a subscription, like from this particular website, The Motley Fool, and I'm not discounting that the stock picks that they share aren't good ones, but there's still more to the puzzle, because I found for us when we were early in this process, we'd be like, oh, okay, so they're saying Facebook's a buy. Now, mind you, this is years ago, so we're not telling you, hey guys, Facebook's a buy today. That is not what we're saying. But when they said that, we'd be like, okay, we should buy some Facebook. How much Facebook should we buy? 10% of our portfolio? 5% of our portfolio? There's that part that you really have to work through too. And then what you'll find is inside there, they'll have a little mini course on how should you allocate your weightings in your portfolio. So when they give you a stock pick, it's not just like, hey, go out and buy, because they might be buying 1% of their allocation. It might be 20% of their allocation, or they might have a completely different allocation because the portfolio that they're managing for themselves has a very different goal than what your portfolio has. So beyond just knowing what stocks you want to pick, knowing what you're trying to do with your portfolio, what is your time horizon, how much money do you have in this portfolio, how much time do you have to rebound if, let's say, it's a wrong pick, because it's not like they're perfect. They don't make perfect picks. So everything that we do in this world, when we start thinking about more active investment, right? More active investment can lead to, doesn't guarantee that it leads to, but it can lead to a higher return. But the conversations I'm having with a lot of listeners that reach out to us and book discovery calls, we always encourage you, if you head to investedteacher.com/discovery, hop on a call we'll go through your scenario and we'll try to give you some things to think about. We'll never tell you what to do. That's not what we do. We try to provide you with a next step. That is our number one goal. And I'm finding that a lot of the next steps that I'm having people at least think about is whether the journey they're currently on is the best fit for them, given their goals, which they sometimes aren't clear on themselves, but I can hear it through their language. And also the amount of time and effort it takes to get that return. So an example I want to give you is someone who, let's say, wants to stock pick so they can make 12% or 15% per year. Private lenders are doing 15% deals right now. If you want to earn 15%, that's great. But how much time and effort is that going to take you in order to actually find the right connections that you want to actually do that private lending? There are great ones out there. I don't want to name any names right now, but there are some that we can point you to if you're interested in going down that route. Are you sleeping okay at night, or are you constantly thinking about your investment, right? Is it distracting you from the work that you are, we'll call it, John, we talk about the queen bee role. Is that Gino Wickman who talks about the queen bee role?
That's Mike Michalowicz.
Mike Michalowicz.
His book, Clockwork.
Clockwork. I love it. We talk about that. We use that metaphor quite a bit because John often mentions it to me when I'm doing a certain thing. Is it my queen bee role? John has a different queen bee role. What's your queen bee role? And when we're talking about investing, are you going to commit? And I'm going to say it's thousands of hours if you want to do this sort of stuff confidently, right? You want to invest in real estate? I would recommend that if you are going to do it, you're going to have to put in thousands of hours. You don't want to just blindly go in there and just kind of hope it all works out. You need to invest the time. So the question then becomes, if the return is 15%, or I was chatting yesterday with someone who was interested in a joint venture. If the return on a joint venture is 15% or 20%, is that going to be stressful for you? Is it going to distract you from how you got that money in the first place? And most people, when they come for investing advice or ideas and strategies on what they might do next, usually the money they're coming with is money they made outside of investing. So it's like, well, how did you get that money? Maybe you want to focus on how to do more of that and then let something more simple take the reins over here. We say, like, maybe you don't want to get into the driver's seat. Maybe you want to get into the passenger seat and you want to let the index fund take you or a joint venture take you. Or maybe you want to do something super safe, right? So ultimately, at the end of the day, just figuring out when you look at a straight up return, how much time and effort will it require of you in order to get that return? And then after, when you actually put it all out on the table, in comparison to the time, effort, stress, and involvement that you have, are you actually winning to say even the index, right? If the index on average is 8% or whatever it is, are you actually getting double the return, or actually are you losing? Have you actually lost on the arbitrage here based on the effort and the time and the lack of maybe safety that you've now put yourself out there with?
It's an important question. I think most people don't think about that return on time investment. And if you're kind of like what you're saying, Kyle, like what you are in some cases, if you're like, I've got this block of time that I'm okay going down rabbit holes. Like I'm at night, you know, it's late. It's not like going to require a lot of thinking. I'm not doing any money-making activities anyway. Then I could take this hour and a half and go down a rabbit hole, and that rabbit hole is going to let me learn. And if I need to learn this and I learn this, that's how you probably got into options trading. And that's how you got into real estate in the first place. You went down these rabbit holes. There's that genius hour, that 20% time that says, you know what, you're spending 20% of your time investigating something new can turn your life into something brand new. And you can go down these pathways, but maybe that's just your hobby time. Instead of doing a hobby, instead of watching the hockey game tonight, you go down that pathway. There's nothing, that part, no problem. But if you are going, but I'm finding myself every day thinking about this move. This was true for me in the stock hacking and options trading. When we were building our math consulting business and our math resource business and our math coaching business, there was parts where I was spending way too much time trying to do the options trading during the day versus the money-making activities that I know get us results over in that land, in that space. And it was like that time dynamic was like, well, I was excited. This was fun. This was new, but actually it was taking me away over here. And if you add up all that return, and you factor in your time, it actually was worse than just letting that index run. And it was actually reminded me of another story, Kyle, that we had a real estate deal. And I think we talked about it here on the podcast where we had to make that choice. It was like, we could go down this pathway and take this bigger property that it wasn't bigger than anything that you'd had in your portfolio already, but it had some issues that we would have to address. And that part, that's the same type of decision making that's happening right here with stock picking or letting the index fund run, is saying like, we could go there, we could get a better return, but it's going to take a lot of our time. It's going to take a lot of new learning, and we could go down that pathway, but we've got this stuff over here that we need to address. And we can't be pulled away from the money-making activities over here, potentially at this time, to get this potential payoff in this investment. So we decided not to go there because our best time was used over here. That part has to come in our decision-making processes. And it's so important moving forward when you're kind of deciding what's best for your life.
Yeah, that example is such a great one. It didn't come to mind when we were planning this topic for this episode, but you're so right. That particular property had value in it. So it was like, if we got that property, this was our challenge as partners, me, you, Matt. Our challenge was that it was clearly enough margin of safety there, but it was the time, which is invisible. It's invisible to see that the time and the capital that would be required out of pocket in order to get it to the place that would provide us with the upside. And we looked at it and sort of went, you know, I could also get a job waiting tables every night and make a lot of money doing that too. But I'm not gonna. Just like, I mean, there's a lot of upside there too. You're like, I don't want to do that. Maybe that's a bad example. But the ultimate piece here that hit me when you talked about the options trading and talking about our business, and this is the part that I hope people are listening to, especially those who are listening who are entrepreneurs, be it side hustle, but really our full-time business owners or our full-time investors, is thinking about what you have to put up in order to get the return on a particular investment. So when you have to put up money and time, you're actually putting up two resources. And you know what? What clicked with me is that if we took that same time and we just put it into our business, we didn't have to put any capital up. All we had to put up with was time. And that is an infinite money printing machine over there. The return on that. Now, don't get me wrong, there's time. But on the other hand, too, these other active investment strategies are time as well. And they are mental and they're exhausting at times. So, I mean, we're not trying to say to people not to do any of that. But what you really want to do is you really want to be thinking long and hard about, where do you make most of your money? Where do you get your biggest return on time and on capital? And which ones are really important to you? And I'm starting to finally recognize that, even though I will still go down my rabbit holes, I love learning and I love sharing that learning with others out there, the community of our listeners and anyone else that comes into my network. I love that aspect and I love to be able to help people along, but I also love to be able to tell them exactly why I'm not doing that strategy and why it might be good for them, but isn't necessarily good for me, right? Or sometimes it's trying to redirect them and saying, I know you're thinking of going down that path. Have you thought about X, Y, or Z? And is that something that is actually worth it to you? Or is there something else that you could do to, again, put a little more effort into your business so that you can create more income, and then select investment strategies that are by safe. Nothing is 100% safe, but there are ways that we can structure things so that they are safer and they take less mental energy. And you know that over time, they're going to be okay to protect all of the assets that you've created. So these are just some things to think about, especially for those who are out there who are like, hey, I'm going to take what I have. My assets are worth this. And if I just grow them at 15% a year or 20%, we're using these big numbers. in order to get to this place, it's like, again, we start talking about the home run piece, right? It's like you're in the majors now, right? When you're taking large sums of capital and you're putting them into different investment opportunities. And there are times where this can be helpful, but there's also times where maybe it's not. And I would argue that over the past 10 years, there have been more lucky investors out there than actual skilled investors. So I'm going to say that again. There have been more lucky investors out there that no matter what you did, you were in pretty good shape. But we're starting to see that change. That tide is changing for a lot of people who are might still be in an investment that was working. And all of a sudden, some of those investments are no longer working anymore. So the question then becomes is that really worth the time, energy, and the capital risk that is there? So big takeaways here from this particular episode. And I hope that some of you listening have had some mini epiphanies about maybe who you are and where you should be committing the most or the majority of your mental energy, your time, and maybe where we're putting that capital.
Excellent. I think that is one of the big takeaways we said we would give you here in this episode on thinking about like that active involvement and really considering that. We also talked about exploring and unpacking a little bit of data that helps decide whether we should be going in the market indices or in picking stocks. We talked about that foolish claim that stock picking, that if we can pick the right stocks, we can outperform the index or vice versa, or maybe the index is going to outperform that stock picking. We wanted you to give you that information so that you can help decide for yourself on what is the best course of action for you so that you can, like what Kyle said, live the life that you want, sleep at night, feel confident that your investment, your money, let's say your retained earnings from your business, is putting it to work so that you can reach even more money through your business. So we were hoping to give you those and hope you're nodding along saying, yep, I got some of that.
I love it. I love it. Hey, friends, listen, if you're a first-time listener, hit that follow button or subscribe button on whatever platform you're on. Ratings and reviews go a massive way. So we so appreciate all of you who are taking the time just to do a quick little one-liner and say something that resonated with you. It really does help us reach a wider audience. And remember, we're here to help you out. Visit the investedteacher.com website. Show notes are over there, links to resources, all of those details. But in particular, what I want to call your attention to is the fact that we are always looking to grow our network and always looking to give you at least one takeaway from any discovery call that we hop on. So head on over to investedteacher.com/discovery and you can hop on to chat with us. And hey, whether it's just to say hello and meet, or whether you've got maybe a pebble kicking around in that shoe that you're looking to help receive maybe just another perspective to help you knock it out, go ahead and reach out to us over on investedteacher.com/discovery.
All links and resources and the transcript from this episode can be found over at our show notes page, investedteacher.com/episode53. Again, that's investedteacher.com/episode53.
All right, my friends, invested students, class dismissed.
Just as a reminder, the content you heard here today is for informational purposes only. You should not construe any such information or other materials, legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice.
John Orr is a mortgage agent with Bricks Mortgage. That is license number M23006803. And I, Kyle Pierce, I am a licensed life and accident and sickness insurance agent and wealth architect with the PanCorp team. That includes the teams over at Corporate Advisors and Pan Financial. Hey, Canadian wealth secret seekers, I'm happy to tell you that it's working. What you ask? Well, we've been asking you to do us a huge solid and share the podcast in the same way it was shared with you, and it's working. We've been in the top 100 business podcasts on Apple Podcasts for over the past few weeks, and we're sticking. And that is all thanks to you. Thanks again, and if you haven't yet, leave a rating, a review, and keep on sharing.